All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, check them out. They appreciate it. We all appreciate it. Good morning. Good morning. May 11th, 2021, Tuesday. Spectacular day. This is the third time I'll be starting this podcast. It's like just not going well this morning. Well, somebody put these big giant foam things on the end of the on the top of the microphones, which are for, you know, I guess spit and popping. But this one's so freaking big that it's like I can't even hear myself, so I had to pull it off. And whatever. I was on some serious rant about driving, though. And, you know, I had to yesterday. You know, I live a great life. I have a perfect life. I have no problems, right? I mean, literally, I'm sober. Great marriage. You know, kids are great. Business is great. Life's great. Pandemic, obviously, is a thing. But, you know, if I'm going to look past that, really, for the most part, terrific life. So what happens with the terrific life? You find stupid shit to get all annoyed about. And that's kind of what's going on with me lately. And it's all shit that's not going my way. It always, you know, I've talked about doing a four-step on this kind of stuff. If I was going to do a four-step on my issues that I have in my life right now, it would all condense down to this one little drop that would squeeze out, and it would be that I am not getting what I want, or I am not getting my way. Always seems to be the problem in my life. You know, so the one thing that I'm stressing about and it gets under my skin and really drives me insane is driving around. And it's just silly. I don't understand why traffic and people have so much power over me. It has the ability to really kick my wagon off the trail, and it's so annoying. You know, yesterday I had to take the boys to cross-country practice over in Georgetown. I don't know if I shared this the other day. I tried to take them the other day and basically got all the way to Georgetown, and then the road was closed. Literally, you turn around. And I was like, oh, my God. Are you kidding me? And so this week, I guess they're either practicing. They're practicing at a different high school. I don't know if it's because of that road closure or what, but, you know, I was like, okay, we're, you know. And a little background, you know, we have, so it's my son, his buddy Alex, and his buddy Dylan. They do all track. They're all, those three do the cross country. Between me, Dylan's mother, and Alex's mother and father, we split up, you know, picking them up, you know, driving, whatever it is we have to do. You know, in a normal year, the kids would go to school, ride a bus to school, go to school, and then stay after school and do track, and then one of us would come pick them up. But due to COVID and the pandemic, all of our kids are doing, they're still, my kid, David, still does school from home. So I'm having to pick him up, take him, and then I think Dylan's mom is going to pick him up or something. But the point is that we live in this, oh my God, I don't know. We live in a great place, but we have serious infrastructure problems here in Rehoboth Beach. And, you know, I had to drive the kids. So I was so excited that I didn't have to go to Georgetown, which is where they were going last week, and got stuck in this huge traffic problem because of this road closure. But I had to drive a different road yesterday. I had to drive on 24, which is maddening. Oh, my God. And, you know, 24 runs, I guess, east-west. So you're kind of going away from the beach and all these little towns that used to be, you know, and I've been here 25 years, it all used to be these little towns, you know, it was no big deal, have now become like small cities because of all these people that have moved here. And the only difference is, besides all the people and all the building and all the small business that are growing, is the roads are the same. So I just, listen, I don't want to make this about traffic and me driving podcast, but oh my God, I was just insane yesterday. And I kept saying, all right, Tom, what is, you know, I was trying to analyze it. What's the real issue? What's the real issue here? And I don't know. The real issue is me being inconvenienced. That's the issue. Because if I'm going to, like, get into, you know, what, I don't know. I just have, you know, I have to be very grateful that I'm just able, that I'm here, right? Because I can remember there was a time in my life I was not heading towards, you know, a married man with three kids, small business, you know, and my biggest problem is I have to take my kids to cross-country track practice. You know, I wasn't headed there. You know, I was headed towards, you know, probation, parole, you know, hanging out in jails and institutions and death, oh my, and, you know, running the streets and barely getting by. That's where I was headed. But somehow I got sober and I removed a lot of those problems. But some of the problems that I have today, I don't know if I can remove them. I just don't know if I can. I know how. I know what should remove them. You know, I talk about it. I share it. But I am still just a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That is my disease. I don't think it's curable. We can recognize it. We can rub ointment on it. We can take a daily. We can take vitamins for it. But I don't think it ever goes away. And luckily in my life, in my time now, I've learned how to manage most of it. Most of the time I can call it out. Listen, you're just not getting your way. This happens every day. This happens sometimes every hour. And, you know, it's nothing new. And a lot of the times I can, you know, if you're in line or I don't know, whatever it is. But for some reason, traffic just brings it out, brings the worst out of me. And so it ends up having Mondays end up being a kind of a crummy, miserable day. I become very miserable during this whole amazing real period of my life, which is me being able to drive my kids and their friends to cross-country track practice, right? I can't seem to pull my head far enough out of my ass to appreciate that wonderful gift that I have because all I can see is the major inconvenience of driving. I mean, what the hell? Is this because I just don't have much bad going on? Is it that I am just a self-centered asshole and I can never be cured of it and I just have to make the best of it? Because I can tell you, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that bad. I was talking to a guy the other day and I was telling him, I go, can you imagine if we had freaking wagons and horses and wagons still? You know, you were getting nothing done early. You know, I'm going to go to Dover for sugar and flour, Ma. See you in 3 days. Ma's sitting on the porch with a shotgun, handling business. While the Pa's down, riding down the trail to go get sugar and flour and, you know, stuff. It's not that way today. It isn't that way. But besides all that, you know, I've got, you know, it's pretty bad that, you know, that's the worst that's going on. My wife and I have been like kind of, I don't know. I've shared on here that we quit tobacco. Well, it's a tough one, that tobacco quitting. And yesterday it was really, we had a couple dust ups yesterday. We've been kind of having some dust ups lately. And, you know, I think part of the problem is we're just both are just jonesing for some tobacco. Very moody, very grumpy, very emotional. We were kind of bickering and fighting around yesterday, and I didn't even do anything. But what I did do was I wasn't very considerate or thoughtful to maybe her feelings because she was having a moment. Because, you know, and honestly, I didn't even realize this was happening. My dad came over for dinner. I cooked spaghetti for everybody. My dad came over. My wife got home. I could tell she was because she likes to come home and take a shower. I'm usually trying to balance between my dad stopping by, cooking dinner, feeding everybody, allowing her. Sometimes if, you know, depending on the time, sometimes she'll come home and take a shower first before we eat. She would prefer to always do that. Yesterday was one of the days she could not because my dad came over. And so we had to eat first, and then she could take a shower. And for some reason, it's a thing. And I could tell she was already, I won't say grumpy, but, you know, I don't know, affected by emotion. And but I sat outside after dinner and talked to my dad because, you know, my dad likes to, you know, be a father and you know, say everything opposite that I say. So, you know, I have to let him get his piece out. And then, but I went in and she was like inside all upset. And I'm like, what's up? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, brother. And, you know, I'm just not good with this stuff. You know, I don't know how to be, you know, I got in that argument with that person last week. You know, I'm just not very sensitive, I suppose. So I'm like, you know, what's the issue? You know, it's probably from not smoking. It isn't about smoking. I was like, uh-oh. And so, you know, we kind of got into a little, well, I basically didn't say the right thing. So I got, you know, my wife got mad at me. And, you know, and I told her, I go, you know, sometimes I don't even know if I'm capable of having a relationship, you know. I mean, I love the fact that I'm sober and I love the fact that I went through this 12 steps and I've learned all this great stuff. But part of the problem with being sober and working the program and going through the steps is that, you know, everything seems like bullshit. You know, it's like, why are people crying? Right. You know, is that, are you really sad or is this some sort of expression? The tears, you know, get reaction and things to happen. I don't know. I feel like since I got sober and I've worked a 12-step program that sometimes I analyze everything too much. And I feel like I've lost the ability to laugh and I've lost the ability to be sensitive and bullshit, you know? My wife says I'm very insensitive. And I've heard that before. I just say it how it is. Because anything else seems like it would be phony or fake or you know, appeasing to ego or something else other than just, you know, I shared about it the other day is that I feel like everything that's good is really bad and everything bad is really good. So to me, being honest, calling people out on their shit, as painful as that is, I feel like in the end, that is where we grow. Because that's how people were with me. You know, I came into the program and I thought I was doing pretty good. And then there would be these moments, these seasons, these times, these periods through my sobriety where I would come to a situation, someone would call me out and I'd be like, oh my God, awful, embarrassment, shame. And then I would change it. You know, instead of like, oh, you know, I'll never forget when my buddy Matt was like, yeah, I'm going to have a dinner party and it's going to be, I don't know, Saturday or Friday night or something. And I was like, well, I have to work. Can we move it to Saturday? And he was like, you think I'm going to move the whole fucking dinner party, a whole invite list, everything over to a different day because you can't make it? And I was like, oh, geez. And I felt like such a schmuck. But if he'd have been like, oh, silly Tom, you know, and put the, you know, I don't know, she put some sugar on it. It made me feel better. Maybe I wouldn't have made a point to never, ever make that mistake again.
Cold, wet wind for the seasons of change.
Song, thank you, Half Moon Run. But you know, I guess it is a it's tough, and you know, and I said it to my wife, you know, sometimes I just don't know if I'm capable of having a relationship. Some days I'm so full of shit, but I'm sober and I've worked a program so that I feel I don't know if I justify it, but I'm so confused by my position that I don't always catch myself being full of shit and playing games. And sometimes I do that. And it's, you know, and yesterday I was like, I don't even know some days if I can even be in a relationship anymore. I just sometimes wonder if my destiny is to just be, you know, alone, you know, and just a hermit, you know, because it's weird. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you get sober and you work a program and you know, expose all of our, you know, stuff. And then we have to kind of like, I don't know, live with it. It's bizarre. I don't know. Let me read something. See if I can find some help here. This is my problem, not yours. Let's see what we got here. All right, May 11th, a new sense of belonging. Until we had talked with complete candor of our conflicts and had listened to someone else do the same thing, we still didn't belong. 12 steps, 12 traditions. After 4 years in AA, I was able to discover the freedom from the burden of buried emotions that had caused me so much pain. With the help of AA and extra counseling, the pain was released and I felt a complete sense of belonging and peace. I also felt a joy and a love of God that I had never experienced before. I am in awe of the power of step five. Yeah, it's kind of what I'm sort of talking about. You know, when you walk through that fire of exposing all of your fears and you know, our warts and zits and all that shit to somebody else, you know, and it talks about, you know, it has to be with the person. You can't do it with the wall. You can't do it with, you know, someone on a phone. It needs to be with somebody in person sitting there and really exposing self. It's the most humbling thing is when we have to sit out there and tell everybody about all of our bad things in person with the person. It's so embarrassing. Even when you finally, I mean, and I've done it a couple times. I remember the last time I did it, I was like, okay. And I still was like, some things I just didn't want to say. I couldn't say it. But I had to. And when you walk through that fire and get all that shit out, you know, everybody that is around you, you just feel like they need to do the same thing. Like, oh, you probably should do a fifth step, you know, because some of the stuff you're saying, it sounds like it's very buried. Or, you know, some of the reactions or the emotions aren't exactly warranted for this. You know, they seem a bit extreme. And that's the other thing. You know, it took me years to work through this stuff. It took me years to work through it. And then when I'm around people that have done nothing, which is fine because, you know, whether they're an alcoholic or not, but have not done this, I want to try to, like, point it out. you know? And I get frustrated because I don't want to also point it out. I don't want to be like, yeah, you should do this. And because I don't want to fix, I'm not here to fix people. But it's like all you, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. It's like watching, trying to teach someone. It's like when you figure out how to hit a golf ball and then you watch somebody try to hit a golf ball and you're like, oh, skip all that shit. Do this. This is what I've learned in like the last 20 minutes and now I can hit the golf ball and you expect everybody to get on board. When it took years to get to the point where you could hit the golf ball, and I'm just using this golf ball as an example, but it's the same kind of thing. Once you figure it out, all of a sudden you feel like everybody else should figure it out now. But it takes an to walk through it, to live through it, to have the ups and downs, to be called out by people when you make stupid things like, hey, can you move the whole party over a day? And they go, what are you, because of you? And you feel like an inch tall. Those moments stick with you. And you walk through that and you get all that, you gather all that stuff so that eventually when you decide to make the changes in your life, they're on your terms or not, or, you know, it's because you've gone through it and you're ready. But then to turn around and then try to expect everybody else to change like that and they're not ready is a challenge. And that's kind of, there's days that I feel like I'm more concerned about everybody else's bullshit and I'm not as concerned about my own. And that's not a great, it's not a good spot. And I don't know. I do not know. I am. I don't know. I'm glad that I could go to bed last night, get up this morning, and start the day over. Because I can start my day over at any time, and so that's what I want to do. And I really want to. I need to stop worrying about everybody else's shit and just start focusing on my own. And just trying to be better again. Find patience. You know, can't fix the world. The world couldn't fix me. It is what it was. It is what it is. So anyway, another thing. So Firefly announced the lineup. Well, they announced their lineup in the Firefly manner, and I think it's probably like every festival, every music festival. So they, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they announced the headliners for each day. I think, let's see, what was the headliners? So the headliners for Thursday, Billie Eilish; Friday, The Killers; Saturday, Tame Impala; and Sunday, Lizzo. Megan Thee Stallion, Cage the Elephant, Rodney Rich, Wiz Khalifa, Machine Gun Kelly, and then so on and so forth down through the line. And, I see, you know, there's a couple bands. Like, I'd love to see The Killers again. They were actually, they headlined last 2 years ago for Firefly. So they're back. And then, but like, I see Nelly. Nelly would be kind of cool. I guess, I don't know as far as headliners. I think if I was going to pick a headliner, I'd probably want to see The Killers again. So that would be Friday night. But Saturday, Sunday, not a big fan of those. But they don't really tell you the rest of the lineup. So it's 4 days, you know, four headliners under four dates, and then a giant crowd of people below. And you don't know what days any of these other people are playing. So, you know, they want you to stay for, they want you to buy weekend tickets, and we like to buy a day. So I'll probably be buying for Friday. So I'm interested to see the lineup. But some of these people, you know, I don't know any of them. It's pretty funny. I'm pretty embarrassed, really, because we do this new music podcast, and I don't really like new music, everybody. I think everybody probably knows that. I like old music. Old music I like, and don't ask me why. It's just growing up, you know. It was the theme music to my life, and that's the music that I like. And my life is pretty themeless right now, so new music isn't really filling it. But like I said, so I see in here Nelly's playing. I'd like to probably see Nelly. I think that he'd be great to see. I was hoping that Half Moon Run was going to be playing, but I don't see him anywhere on here. Lovely, the band, they may be good. Yeah, Judah and the Lion. I saw them already there. They're good. Mizzio, they're good. I was hoping there was a rumor that Dave Matthews might be playing at Firefly. I still want to see Pearl Jam. Hopefully, Pearl Jam will get back out on the road. We'll see Eddie Vedder. Interesting, Eddie Vedder. If anybody out there likes Pearl Jam and knows Pearl Jam, knows that, you know, for the whole COVID-19 or the pandemic, you know, a lot of these bands obviously weren't playing. And so Eddie started popping up on, like, YouTube and, you know, on Facebook and stuff. But he started popping up with this hat. And everybody's like, oh, shit, all of Eddie's hair fell out. You know, he must have gone bald. And, you know, like, his hair, which is pretty funny because I remember back in the day, he probably had the most hair in the entire world. Dreaded. It was crazy. Just a ton of hair. And he's always had a lot of hair. And then all of a sudden, his hair started falling out, I guess. So, you know, his hair's been up and down a bit. And then when the pandemic and all this, he started wearing the hat. And I think everybody was like, oh, boy. Well, I think Eddie's lost all his hair. Well, they had this big concert this past weekend, the Axe concert. I think that's what it was. I forget what it was called. But anyway, Eddie played. And he did a couple songs, and he didn't wear a hat, and he had hair. But his hair looked like a wig. I mean, it was very nice. It had a nice chestnutty brown color. It was funny. It was shiny. It didn't look like Eddie. It looked like, you know, Eddie's always had this kind of black, curly, kinky, you know, hair. And his hair in this concert the other night looked soft and flat ironed and, you know, round brushed and styled, and it was pretty funny. But, you know, I don't know if it was a wig, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But his hair looked good, so, and he had a lot of, you know, he was excited and he was jamming, and it was great to see it. You know? And so, hopefully, Pearl Jam will get back out. Obviously, my favorite band in the most entire world. I'm pretty excited about that. What else? Anything else happened? I don't know. How's everybody doing? So, you know, you can follow me on I'm Sorry About Last Night on my Instagram. If you have any questions or you want to, you know, tell me to shut up, you can do it through there. If you have any ideas or thoughts or stuff you want to talk about or stuff I can share my position or not position, my experience on, I'd love to do that. Or don't. It doesn't matter. I hope everyone has a great day and, you know, we'll catch up. Bye. Seasons